Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Nemechek puts Cole Custer into the wall. They both stay on the throttle.
Now they're beginning to crash. One truck goes sliding wildly. One truck is in the air. Matt Crafton upside down.
The Motor Racing Network presents the Tough Trucks of NASCAR. 25 years and still trucking.
Get the line. Mike Skinner wins it by 2/100ths of a second.
He was too bullheaded to let me pass him, and I was too bullheaded to let him have it.
Brendan Gaughan wins in his own backyard at the Las Vegas.
Fans were in. We partied in the race shop for hours. It was a wild party night.
Now here's Sprague going for second. He and Hornaday come together. Now Hornaday goes around, slams into the wall.
To this day, he can't tell me if I ever spun him out.
Because I can save it better than him. I told you he was going to play that back. I told you.
From the Motor Racing Network studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Welcome to Episode 8 of MRN Presents the Tough Trucks of NASCAR. 25 years and still trucking. I'm Mike Bagley. Earlier in this series, we covered the legends of the trucks, names like Hornaday, Skinner, and Sprague. You may have asked yourself, how come we didn't speak of Kyle Busch, Greg Biffle, Kevin Harvick, and so on? It's true these guys were successful in a truck, but they went on and became big stars in the Cup Series. On this episode, we'll talk about those drivers that used the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series as a springboard into NASCAR's top division. Two-time Truck Series champion Todd Bodine says, the series is a great place for young drivers to develop their skills.
Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, the trucks are easier to drive in one respect, harder to drive in some other respects. But when you go to, let's say, Atlanta, and the racetrack is so wore out, the trucks are very forgiving because they have a lot of side force. And you learn how to drive them while they're slipping and sliding. And you got to let off the gas and maybe even use a little brake at times. And it teaches you how to drive. And you go to some of these other tracks, you know, it's the same thing where it teaches you how to drive, how to go fast, get car control, which is very important, and a good place for guys to learn these things.
One of those drivers that started in the Truck Series is Greg Biffle.
Greg Biffle has won the Memphis 200, his first NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series victory.
Here comes Biffle. He'll die for the bottom. Greg Biffle did it. Biffle wins at Michigan.
Greg Biffle right down on the white line. He has been a man among boys this evening in Texas.
For the second time this year and the 11th time in his NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series career, Greg Biffle will score checkers.
Last time down the back straightaway. It is all Greg Biffle by about 5 truck lengths. The reigning truck champion leads the field off the corner.
Greg Biffle comes off the corner by an advantage of maybe 3 truck lengths, comes down to the line, takes the checkered flag, and will win.
Originally from the Pacific Northwest, Greg Biffle started his Truck Series career racing for Jack Roush.
Local guys struggle to get recognized, and I noticed they did the Tucson Winter Heat Series, which was in the winter. They'd run one race in November, one in December, one in January. They would run late models, Winston West, and a couple other divisions. Mm-hmm. They'd run a 3 race series, and that is when NASCAR's off. So everybody's sitting on the couch watching TV. So this is televised by ESPN2. Benny Parsons, Bob Jenkins in the booth, and I became good friends with Benny Parsons through that 3 race series. I raced it 2 years in a row, won some of the races. I built cars, became good friends with Benny. And I said to Benny Parsons, I'm like, how do I get an opportunity to get into the Truck Series? And I talked to Benny about it a lot. And so the story goes, Benny Parsons was walking through the garage one day. And if you didn't meet or know Benny Parsons, he could talk to anyone and would remember his memory. If I could have 1/32nd of his memory, I would probably have 2 cup titles for don't make that mistake on the racetrack. The guy has a memory like 10 elephants, not just one. And he's walking through the garage, is, you know, BSing with Jack Roush. And Jack mentions to him, hey, I can't find a driver for my third truck team I'm starting. Tommy Kendall, you know, was crazy or wouldn't accept the offer. Who knows what? You know, they had a little dispute, the negotiations, right? That'll happen with drivers. And so he said to him, hey, don't forget about that kid I told you about out in Washington. I think he'll do you a great job. Jack Roush went to Jeff Smith, which is the president of Roush, and told Jeff Smith, hire that kid. Not get a resume, not anything, not get set up a test. He said, hire him. And so fast forward, I'm sitting in my, I have a race shop in Washington State, and, you know, we build street stocks, late models, and sell some parts. And I'm working in the, you know, I'm working in the office and, or I'm working in the shop there. My parts man says, we're just getting ready to go to lunch, Roger and I. And that's when we talk about, that's our business meeting. You know, we go to lunch and we sit and we, okay, what builds are coming up? What races are we doing? You know, whose car's got to go, this, that. That's our time to sit down and talk, mm-hmm. You know, because we don't have time during the day. We're slinging parts and cars and building stuff. So my parts manager says, Jeff Smith's on the phone for you. And I'm like, well, who the heck is Jeff Smith and why'd he give his first and last name? And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. So I go in there and I jump in my office and I'm talking to him on the phone. He told me he was the president of Roush and Jack wanted, you know, him to call and wanted to know if I was interested in racing the Camping World Truck Series in, you know, 2000, which would be 2008, or excuse me, 1998. This was about middle of the year, later in the year, 97. And so I'm in there talking to him on the phone for about 30 minutes, and I have a small window similar to this that looks out into the shop, and Roger's all mad at me. He's like holding his arms up in the air because he thinks I'm just in there on the phone shooting the bull with somebody. And I write on a piece of paper, Jack Roush, and I hold it up, you know, and I'm like, it's Jack Roush. And he's like, whatever. And a few minutes later, he's back over there. I see sparks flying, and he's grinding and welding, and he's back to work. And so about 45 minutes later, I get off the phone and run out in the shop and tell him about it. And, of course, I had to tell my parents. And then I don't know if I could even eat lunch. I was so excited. But
did you get the job from that phone call?
I got the job. They said, can you send us a picture, a headshot? You know, it was really pre-internet. You know, the internet was alive and all that. But it wasn't nearly, you know, social media and all this. And so they didn't know who this kid from Washington was that Benny Parsons was.
Fellow competitor Mike Wallace remembers Greg Biffle's first year in the truck series.
Biffle had the start of a, you know, you heard about him again from West Coast stuff. You talked to people that told you who he was, never heard of him before. Biffle had the start of a career, and I'm saying, everything I say is in a complimentary way. Nothing's a negative, but it's, I put two comparisons, and they both drove for Jack Roush. Greg Biffle and Ricky Stenhouse had the start of their careers being the same. They crashed everything they drove for a while. And then all of a sudden, a light switch flipped on, and they started winning everything.
Greg Biffle went on to win 16 races in his Truck Series career, with 9 of those coming in 1999.
I certainly don't want to take any more credit than I deserve for, you know, winning those 9 races. But I came with a wealth of information from car building. When I got to looking at these trucks and through 99 or through 98, you know, I could see that. And I didn't know a lot about it, so I didn't want to come in and tell them they were all doing stuff wrong. But the geometry looked extremely incorrect to me on the front suspension. Really, really high, short A-arm, upper A-arm angles and all these things. And I spent a great deal of time in 98 with my fabricator hat on and what do we need and spindles. And ran, I had the best crew chief in the world in Randy Goss because he was... He doesn't care if you have to paint it pink and put it on upside down. He's willing to try it, and he doesn't care because he's a motorcycle racer and grew up. It knows you got to do whatever you can do. And so we worked on this front suspension, and we worked on these spindles, and we worked on slowing down the camber curves, and we did all these things to these cars. And in 99, we got on to something that really, really worked. And into 98, we were super competitive. We should have won Loudon, and we didn't. We panicked and put 2 tires on instead of 4, and Andy Houston won it. But But in 99, man, we were solid.
He has won now five, actually six of the last eight races. Greg Biffle wins the Orleans 250, as now Biffle becomes the only man in NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series history to win nine races in one season.
In 2000, Roush Fenway Racing was the team to beat in the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series. Greg Biffle remembered that season and the addition of Kurt Busch.
In 2000, was a great year. That was a great era for us. We were winning a lot of races. And, you know, it just so happened, I came in 99. We got the trucks going good. Or 98. Trucks going good, 99. 2000, Kurt steps in. And we're able to hand Kurt. Kurt was the same greenhorn, didn't know anything, wild as March hare. We were able to hand Kurt trucks and setups that were lock, stock, and barrel, and he could get in and drive it and be competitive and win races too. And just like a matter of just making mistakes and learning, and that's how these new drivers do it. That he basically did the same thing I did.
From the trees of Milwaukee, there has emerged a Busch into victory lane, winner of his first ever NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race.
While they're all knocking around for second, third, and fourth, here comes Kurt Busch to the start-finish line. Second straight win in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
Kurt Busch one final time down the back straightaway. Kurt Busch has got it gathered back up. As all he's got to do is negotiate turns three and four, and he'll pick up his fourth win.
I remember it was huge on the West Coast when the trucks were being announced in 1995. Maybe they had some exhibition in 94. And it was awesome seeing guys like Ken Schrader jump in and drive, and Terry Labonte. And then the legends, Mike Skinner, Ron Hornaday, Jack Sprague. All those guys kicked it off. And then for me, my opportunity came from running in the Southwest Tour Series. And I got invited to the Gong Show, Jack Roush's tryout system. And our first audition, so to speak, at the Gong Show is Toledo Speedway. And that was the first time I got to drive the big horsepower of the trucks.
Kurt Busch spent one season in the Truck Series before moving up to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series in 2001. It was a decision that Kurt didn't feel good about.
It was nuts. Literally, I was there for 6 months, and I won that race in Milwaukee and won the next race at New Hampshire. We were running good, but Bobby Hamilton Sr. had a flat tire, and we got the win. So I won two in a row, and Jack Roush literally came to the shop in Livonia, Michigan, and said, "We're going cup racing, and we need you to test your first cup car." And so by September, I was already in the Cup Series. It was nuts. And that's why I wasn't ready for the big time. I didn't have a lot of time to make mistakes and to do things right or wrong, mainly media and the timeline of how you learn to respect people. It just kept moving so fast.
We talked before the beginning of the race. We talked to you about your great career. Now you end it on a victory as you go to Winston Cup. Tell us now how you complete your feelings of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
It's just an awesome feeling. I finished the Southwest Series the same way. It's a unique thing that comes over me when somebody brings me an opportunity and I don't think I'm ready for it, but I'm going to step up to the challenge and make sure that when they make that decision, we're going to go forward with it and make it successful.
MRN pit reporter Jason Toy.
Kurt's a lot like what he was, you know, today, what he was back then. You know, he was aggressive. He didn't really care if it was a popular move to make things happen, but he wanted to win. I mean, that must be in the Busch DNA in that family, because they both run kind of the same way in that aspect. He was a guy that, you know, and I look at it this way with Kurt, in the same way I can look at it with a Carl Edwards or a McMurray or, you know, a Ty Dillon or an Austin Dillon, or, you know, you look at all these drivers that have gotten their start, you know, in their major series debuts have been in trucks. It has catapulted them to what they are today and success of what they're being able to do, you know, do today at the highest level of NASCAR. And that the Truck Series afforded these drivers that opportunity to be able to do that.
In 2001, another Busch emerged on the Truck Series. It was younger brother Kyle, who is now the winningest driver in the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series.
There's been little doubt tonight who's had the best truck. It's been Kyle Busch at the stripe. He beats Terry Cook. He will win.
And as Kyle splits some of the slower trucks in his first ever Truck Series race here at Nashville, Kyle Busch is heading to victory lane. It is win number 17 in his fine career.
Kyle Busch picking up the victory. He barely squeezed by at the start-finish line. Amazing finish.
What a comeback from Kyle Busch.
A historic night for Kyle Busch as he comes off of turn number four, checkered flag in the air. Kyle Busch will win the Ultimate Tailgating 200 here at the Atlanta Motor Speedway and becomes the all-time winningest driver in the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series, picking up his 52nd win here tonight.
So back when I was 16, I got my start in the Truck Series. I was able to make a few races early on and ran pretty well, a couple top tens, and had a shot to win my second race out at Chicago Motor Speedway. That was a Cicero track, different than the one that we race on today. And just remember being oh so close, and then being at California Speedway, being the fastest guy there, and then getting sat out for the next 2 years, not being able to go back and run the Truck Series. But once I got back into the Xfinity Series and the ARCA Series, and then I became a Cup Series driver, was able to go back and run the Truck Series again, win in the Truck Series, and it's been a lot of fun. I've learned an awful lot there, being an owner as well as a driver, and having the ownership role that I have now has been very instrumental in helping some of the development of some of the younger guys, like Eric Jones and Christopher Bell and William Byron and Bubba Wallace and some of those other guys that may not have necessarily made it up or has made it up as fast as they did without the help of Kyle Busch Motorsports. So it's been a very rewarding experience and something that's been pretty cool to give back to the sport.
MRN anchor Jeff Striegel.
It didn't take long to realize that Kyle Busch was a champion. You didn't know how long it was going to be. You didn't really know when we're talking about Kyle just starting out, you didn't even know if he was going to finish a race. You knew one thing for sure, and that was Kyle would take whatever he was driving, a truck at this particular case, and no matter where he started, he would be a factor. Well, it didn't take us very long to realize that we were looking at a very special individual, an incredible talent behind the wheel.
In 2001, at the age of 16, Kyle Busch was well on his way to stardom in the Truck Series when NASCAR had to pull him out of the seat. MRN pit reporter Jason Toy explained the situation.
For Kyle, over the years, we saw him back several years ago when we were at California, at the Auto Club Speedway, Southern California. And he was supposed to jump into a truck at 16 years old. And then he had taken out of the truck because of his age, because there was tobacco sponsorship at the track, because this is when the Kart Series was running there at the time. And I think it was Marlboro, sponsorship all around. He could not run at that facility, plus the track speeds. It's a bigger track, 2 mile track, faster track as well. And you fast forward a little bit. He goes, runs ARCA. He goes and runs some other things as well until he's of age to be able to run at 18 in the major series, and then just career takes off. But he does the Truck Series a lot like he does the Super Late Model Series because he's a race guy. He loves having the race team. As long as it's viable for him financially to be able to bring sponsorship dollars to be able to do what he loves to do, Kyle now, who's gone from the young gun in this series to developing the young guns. I mean, and look at the championships that he has won as a truck owner over the last couple of years with, Eric Jones and Christopher Bell and William Byron over the last couple of years. He has built a championship caliber team, for his Truck Series teams, which has been great. He's run sometimes four trucks at a racetrack. But also, too, he has fun with his super late models, and he's able to run that out of his Truck Series garage as well. So the one thing, great thing about Kyle Busch, he is a champion. He was definitely a Hall of Famer one day. But what he still is contributing to the sport of NASCAR, especially when it comes to the Truck Series, is fantastic because a lot of these guys can just, take their money and go. Kyle's still investing back in to the series that he loves so much and loves the aspect of being able to be a race owner.
Another Cup Series veteran that had a similar role in the Truck Series is Kevin Harvick.
Coming up off turn number four, Musgrave looks to the inside, tries to pull, even gets a fender up there by inches. It is Kevin Harvick scoring the win. Finally, Kevin Harvick wins in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
It's been all Harvick all the time this afternoon at Martinsville. Kevin Harvick looking to close out a record-setting day. He's off four for the checkered flag.
Can Kevin Harvick hold off everybody? I kind of believe he can, because that truck, as we said, the thing that's been in Kevin's favor all afternoon is the fact that he can run the bottom of the racetrack.
And Harvick's won here in the Cup Series, in the Nationwide Series, and today he wins here in a truck, making it two in a row.
Kevin Harvick has been involved in the Truck Series since the very first year, back in 1995, where he started one race for his father, Mike Harvick, and four more the following year in 1996. Close friend and fellow competitor, Rick Corelli.
I've known Kevin since he was like 7, 8 years old. His father was my crew chief when we ran on the West Coast, and I've It's just been something that we've got together for many years. I spotted for him for a while when we, you know, in the late 2001, I think, or 2002, right in there. And then we worked together for until he shut it down. I mean, we're still good friends, good conversations, but it's just something there. You know, I seen Kevin years ago when he used to race, and he had the actual tenacity and grit that he had growing up that I knew once he went and made it, who would he be? He'd be one of those ones we're reckoning with all the time.
Veteran Truck Series driver Dennis Setzer remembers Harvick not being that competitive in the early years of his career.
Good racer, you know. Didn't know how good he was when he was in the Truck Series till he stepped in that Cup car, and man, it was, you know, a life-changing event when we went to the Busch car, I guess, for Childers right there from the Truck Series. And he just ran okay in the Truck Series, I think, but man, when he went to that Busch car with Childers and stepped in that Cup car, it's like home run deal. You see how good Kevin Harvick actually was at that time.
In 2001, Kevin Harvick started his own Truck Series operation.
We started the truck team to win a race, and were able to accomplish that, and had no other intentions other than to race the truck every once in a while myself. And Toyota came along, you know, to start their tenure in NASCAR to start in a truck series. And General Motors decided that they wanted to have a defensive play and put more trucks on the racetrack to try to keep Toyota from you know, winning as many races as they could. So we started a truck team and basically started because of General Motors wanted to have some defense against Toyota. And you know, we kept that until 2011 and sold the teams. But, you know, had a lot of fun along the way. I got to employ a couple of my lifelong heroes, Rick Corelli and Ron Hornaday. Obviously, Rick was the general manager, and Ron Hornaday won a couple championships and a whole bunch of races for us. So, you know, to be able to do that and experience that with those guys was a lot of fun.
Mike Wallace scored his final win while driving for Kevin Harvick.
The greatest thing I got to say about Kevin Harvick and Delano Harvick is the last truck race that I did run at Talladega was driving for Kevin and Delano and won that race.
And Mike Wallace will hold him off. He will win here at Talladega today with Hornaday coming in second.
Kevin Harvick is a really cool dude. He's kind of got a little Matthew McConaughey in him, you know, all right guy, because he's smart as a businessman. He's an incredible race car driver, and he gave people opportunities. I mean, here he took Ron Hornaday and gave him a relaunched his career, you know, one race. He'd give Mike Wallace a chance to run one race, and I was able to win the race with Hornaday pushing me to the win, you know, a team orchestrated, totally orchestrated team truck race. It was incredible. So Harvick's the man. That's all I can say about that.
Roush Fenway Racing was one of the best for developing new talent in the Truck Series. Another guy from that pool was Carl Edwards.
Will the truck bobble? Will the truck falter? Will the truck fail? Off of turn number four, Carl Edwards comes to the start-finish line. No, it will not. Carl Edwards is a first-time winner in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
Third win of the year, sixth of his career. Carl Edwards goes with the win here at Bristol.
Carl Edwards brings him off turn number four into the tri-oval. To behind him, Travis Quaffle steps out of line, makes a run, can't do it. Carl Edwards picks up the win in the Florida Dodge Dealers 250.
Barney, we're down here, Victory Lane. They've come unglued down here. Carl Edwards, you grew up in the Midwest in Missouri. Did you ever think you'd make it to Victory Lane here at Daytona International Speedway?
I used to sit in Timmy Cahoos' basement, look at all his trophies that he won with Schrader in them, and I can't even describe it. We are here, we're at Daytona, and I'm standing in Victory Lane. I'm living the dream of every racer on the planet. You fans are the best. This is great. I hope you like the backflip. They wouldn't let me jump off the truck. I love everybody, man. This is awesome.
MRN's Joe Moore remembers the first time he met Carl.
It was in the hotel we were staying in Daytona Beach. We were standing around enjoying happy hour one afternoon, and this young guy looked very awkward standing over in the corner, and he walked over and introduced himself. And he said, I'm Carl Edwards. I'm going to be driving a truck out here, you know, this Friday night. It's like, oh, well, that's good, you know. And we're all thinking, okay, who's this, you know. And so we struck up a conversation, and then when we got to the racetrack, we started watching him in practice and qualifying. Like, the kid's pretty good. And the more we got to know Carl, we found out more about the way he worked his way to this level. I mean, he was a marketing genius. you know, a backyard marketing genius, I guess is what you'd call him, because he went out and bought posters and any kind of thing he could use to promote himself and spread it around and try to make himself look bigger than he actually was. But he had the talent to go with it, and all of it came together, obviously.
MRN's Alex Hayden.
He was one of those guys that was a little bit different than a lot of other ones. And I still have the business card that he was walking around the infield in the garage handing out business cards. Hi, I'm Carl Edwards. He shook my hand and said, I'm Carl Edwards. Here's my business card. I'm trying to make it. And if you can help me out, I'd appreciate that. Wow, okay, that's a different approach. Never had a young driver walk up and hand me a business card and ask me for some help and anything that he could do to make my job easier. And I thought, who are you? I mean, okay, I appreciate that. I put the business card in my pocket and kept on going. I was like, who's this punk kid? Who's this? It kind of reminded me a little bit of the old Leave It to Beaver character, Eddie Haskell. Because if anybody remembers that old black and white TV show, Eddie Haskell was the guy that was, oh golly gee, whenever the Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver were around. That's kind of Carl Edwards came across that way. And that's how he was. He was genuinely that nice of a guy. And then he put the helmet on and got behind the wheel of the truck, and he was fierce. He turned into the complete opposite. But it was great. Carl Edwards was one of them that really came in and came in with Mike Mittler's team, which was a very underfunded team, but a solid, stable team. And Mike Mittler gave him the chance, and it was up to Carl Edwards to prove that he could drive it.
Carl Edwards spent 2003 and 2004 in the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series and visited Victory Lane 6 times in that span. Another future champion that developed in the Truck Series is Brad Keselowski. Although the name Keselowski has been in the series since its inception, Brad started his NASCAR career in 2004 racing for his father, Bob.
Well, the Truck Series has been critical not just to my family, but I think to a lot of sports fans, racing fans. It was a great series and continues to remain a great series that fulfills kind of a nice spot in the sport of motor racing for veterans and rookies alike and those passionate NASCAR fans. So, you know, for my family, it was no different. It was a spot that, you know, we settled in and made our home for a number of years as racers.
In spite of Brad's success in the Cup Series, he only has one win to his credit in the Truck Series, and it came at Bristol Motor Speedway in 2014.
Out of turn four, he comes to the stripe. Checkered flag, finally. After 61 races in the series, Keselowski finally sees the checkered flag as the winner, and he becomes the 25th different driver to have won in all three of NASCAR's major touring series.
Well, for me, winning the Bristol Truck Race in 2014 was kind of the realization of a dream to win in all three NASCAR series and to do something that had never been really done before, which is be a father-son combination as one in that series. So I'm very proud of it.
Speaking of family operations, Austin and Ty Dillon started their NASCAR careers in the Truck Series while driving for their grandfather, Richard Childress. In 2011, Austin Dillon claimed the Gander Outdoors Truck Series Championship with that familiar number 3 on the side of the truck. Austin says it was special to bring Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s old number back to NASCAR.
Yeah, it was more about, you know, making everything work together and starting a truck team up was special. And, you know, he had already had a good history with the starting of the Truck Series back when Mike Skinner and those guys dominated. And then when we brought the truck back and the number 3 back in the Truck Series, it was so special. And to win a championship in the Truck Series, it was probably my favorite championship out of the two.
Your grandfather, Richard Childress, your father, Mike Dillon, the number 3, so many things. Can you put into words what a championship means, bringing it to the family team?
It's awesome to see a 3 back with the championship, man. It's just so cool. I love these fans out here in Miami. This is awesome. Fireworks in the background. This is great.
MRN Pit Reporter, Jason Toy.
It was a lot. He reminded me so much of his dad and Mike Dillon. And Mike was a longtime runner, ran the Truck Series for a while. He ran ARCA Series for a lot of years and the Xfinity Series. And, of course, his grandfather and Richard Childress. And that's one thing about him. They had opportunities, but the thing is, they could have been the kids that were the grandsons for Richard Childress and just been out there being able to run. No, they went out, and talking about Austin and Ty Dillon, any time they had the opportunity, and Granddad helped them out, putting them in great trucks, great vehicles, whatever they were racing, they were contending for championships. But the great thing, I think, with Austin and watching him mature over the years and eventually to a Daytona 500 win and watching the way he runs now, he got, you know, in the aspect of the truck series, it kind of it helped him grow a little bit more. He didn't, you know, he was aggressive at times, but maybe sometimes too aggressive. You know, he kind of stepped back and watched things develop and then strike when the strike was good. That was the great thing with Austin Dillon and, you know, the truck series and the championship. He fought for it. He had to be consistent. He had to be, you know, not, you know, go for the win every single time. Maybe the fact that you're going to be there in contention for the win at the end and eventually something will happen. That was the way Austin Dillon kind of grew up a little bit in the truck series and the aspect that, okay, first year coming out, I'm going to be aggressive as I can. Now, it didn't always work out that way. You had to kind of buy your time a little bit, and I think it's what Austin Dillon was able to do.
Domination, that is an understatement. The young man comes off turn number four. Austin Dillon, a winner for the first time on the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. The man who for years came in and was known as Richard Childress's grandson. Well, now Richard can proudly turn around and say, I'm that man's grandfather.
MRN Pit Reporter, Steve Post.
I think the one that stands out to me with Austin was winning the first Mud Summer Classic up at Eldora. The Dillon boys had raced a lot of dirt track racing in their early days before getting to NASCAR. And so I don't think it was a big shocker up there. But when you look at Austin's career, and obviously he's won the Daytona 500 and the Coca-Cola 600, at the time, that Eldora win, particularly that first Eldora win, was a huge, huge accomplishment. He is forever going to be the inaugural race winner at Eldora. I mean, we may run there two more years. We may run there 60 more years. And he will always be the first winner there.
If he holds on, it'll be his fifth win in the series. Here he comes sliding off turn number four. And Austin Dillon will win NASCAR's return to dirt here at the Eldora Speedway.
I remember him getting out of the truck, and there was almost this disbelief that he had done it.
This is bad to the bone. I want to thank all these fans. You guys, I hope you enjoyed this show. I hope there's more of these. This is what racing's about. I got to thank Tony Stewart, we all do, for letting us come here and do this, and American Ethanol, our sponsor. But this is a great race. I brought a bunch of asphalt guys, and I had a few dirt guys here, and I got to thank Team Dillon Racing. That's where I learned to dirt race, and love coming out here running the world and all this stuff. But I tell you what, this is one of the biggest wins of my career, for sure. I love it.
There was such jubilation that they had won that race, and just it's just such a great feeling amongst that team that they won that race, and they were kids, and they were kids that got the win on the biggest stage in the truck series. Eldora is one of the biggest stages we have, and it was the inaugural biggest stage race. So I just remember the celebration, the kid-like happiness. I mean, they were literally just giddy. All those guys were on that truck when he won that race.
Austin's brother Ty took over the number three truck in 2012 and competed full-time for 2 years. In that time span, he earned three wins while racing against some of the best.
It was big, especially the times when we won races and competing for wins week in and week out. We were very competitive in the truck series. And to win Atlanta, I remember Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch were both in that race. Kyle finished second to me, and him and I were racing for the last 10 laps. And to win that race against him gave me a lot of confidence.
20 lead changes among eight drivers tonight, and when it's all said and done, Ty Dillon scores his first career victory. He wins the Jeff Foxworthy's Grit Chips 200 at Atlanta.
The truck series, especially when you get the cup guys that drive in that series with a bit of an advantage and you can outperform them, I think it's a massive stepping stone and confidence builder for young guys, and that series has produced the best drivers have come through the truck series.
As we talked about earlier, Kyle Busch has been highly successful behind the wheel of a NASCAR truck. He's also known to put young drivers in his equipment and mentor them to wins and championships, like Eric Jones.
It was fun. I mean, it was tough at the same time. There was, we were in the same equipment, and I was 16, 17, 18 years old, and he was obviously much more experienced than me. And, it was tough. I mean, it was tough to keep up with him. There's times where you're faster than him, but I knew at the end of the day he was going to race really good no matter what, and it was just hard to outrace him. He's, he's very smart in the race and behind the wheel. So that was the tough part for me, was just trying to learn and get to his level on race day. But he taught me a lot along the way, and even just racing with him, I learned a lot along the way.
From Byron, Michigan, Eric Jones bounced around the local scene, showing off his racing talent to other Michiganders like MRN's Jeff Striegel.
Eric Jones was a guy that kind of came onto my radar way back at the Berlin Raceway. He was running short tracks at the time in a super late model. He was 13 years old, and we were all looking at this kid thinking, okay, here's somebody that we're going to have to kind of negotiate around because he just doesn't belong here. He doesn't belong in this kind of a car. Well, he quickly proved this wrong. We recognized immediately that Eric Jones was a talent unlike really you see come along. You can put Kyle Busch in that same category, maybe a Chase Elliott, somebody that started so young in a super late model, but you recognized almost immediately that they didn't belong here. They belonged with an opportunity to move up and drive a truck, drive an Xfinity car, drive a cup car. And Eric Jones was one of those rare talents that proved everybody right when we recognized just what kind of driver he really is.
Eric Jones will finish in the sixth spot tonight, and he will clinch the 2015 championship.
Another talent that raced for Kyle Busch is Bubba Wallace.
The biggest thing, as much as I hate giving him credit, you know, I learned a lot from Denny in that race. You know, he was driving the 51, so he was a teammate. And I don't know where, I think he qualified on the pole. We were third. I'm not sure. But I followed him for a while, and my marks I thought were right. You know, I was getting in the corner a little deeper than him, like way deeper than him. I'm like, whoa. And then over time, he would start to pull away. So I started matching his, you know, his pace. And I was like, man, this actually, you know, feels really good. So I'd say I learned a lot from him that day. And I still owe Crafton a tip for dumping him, for taking Denny out. But, you know, it was that I remember specifically where my marks are, how I come off lower of the corner than anybody else. And we just, that last restart with seven to go, we had a hell of a lead coming off turn two to bring it home safely. And I remember I couldn't even hold it together coming off turn four. I let off the gas. Luckily, I had a big enough cushion and just kind of coasted across the line.
Final time down the back straightaway for Darrell Bubba Wallace on his way to victory lane. Checkered flag in the air.
The 20-year-old will win his first ever victory here in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Bubba's first win came at Martinsville Speedway in 2013. It was a historical win that Bubba remembers well.
Yeah, my we had just finished up our, K&N season with JGR, and we were trying to figure out what's next. And being with that team, knowing that Kyle has his truck program, we thought it was a good move for us. So we went over there and had two solid years. It took us a while to get our feet underneath us and get, you know, hit the ground running. You know, Martinsville, that win at Martinsville in the fall was obviously a staple point for my career and a staple point for the sport. But then after that, you know, we started getting into a rhythm, picked up another four wins, and I thought that was pretty special. So I wish, you know, we could have gotten the championship for those guys in 2014, but just the amount of experience I gained and learned was a huge amount and a huge opportunity for me. Just a kid that grew up racing go-karts and never even thought of being at this level. Racing for Kyle and Coach Gibbs at that point was a good time.
Up the back straightaway into turn three, a healthy lead and what could be a huge win for Darrell Wallace Jr.
It is going to be huge for him. Toyota continues their mastery. Kyle Busch Motorsports continues their domination. Bubba wins at Eldora.
MRN Pit Reporter Steve Post.
We can play colorblind all we want, but this is an African-American winning a race in a major NASCAR series that hasn't happened since 1960. So let's lay the colorblindness aside and celebrate what it is and what an accomplishment it is. And his happiness, Winston, I think, did victory lane that day. And it's one of those rare times, and I don't generally do it because once the race is over, I just like to do what I need to do and make my way back. And I'll never forget, I was one of those with my kids, with my Legends kids. I walked over and I attempted to get to victory lane, and there was no way you were going to get in there. It was just a celebration. I looked up and just saw him at the stage. He was pointing skyward, and I'll never forget the look of happiness for a guy that I loved calling his races as a kid, got to respect him as a race car driver as an adult, and then to see him win that race at Martinsville with all the story with Wendell Scott and African-American around the story, I just think that that was an amazing moment in the sport of NASCAR racing.
Well, we're down here in Victory Lane, Joe, and Kyle Busch coming in congratulating his driver, Darrell Bubba Wallace. First time ever in Victory Lane in a National Touring Series victory. You seem emotional when you got out of the truck. Before we talk about the race, talk about your emotions, your feelings right now, Bubba.
It's indescribable, man. Yeah, I'm bawling my eyes out. This is an emotional win for me, for my team, everybody back home. My emotional mom can make it out, but we're expecting a baby with my sister, so she's at home, and we're ready for that. So all excitement all around the walls. Race team and everywhere. This is emotional. I want to thank every single one of you fans for coming out here. I love Martinsville. It treats me so well. So it's freaking, I don't know what to say. It's awesome.
For 25 years, the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series has played a role in developing some of the greatest drivers in NASCAR history. Join us on the next episode of MRN Presents The Tough Trucks of NASCAR, 25 years and still trucking. We'll explore some of the unique tracks that the series has visited, past and present.
It was two turns and a jump. I won every time I went. I'll never forget Brad Kay's dad. He put a restrictor plate on and picked up like a lot. And so Will Lynn says, you know, you're doing two things wrong. One, we need to put a restrictor plate on this thing. And I said, if you have to take horsepower away from me to teach me how to operate the throttle, I said, Ron Hornaday helped me with that back in Tucson. I said, now I've became one of the best in the business at it. I'm not putting no restrictor plate on. Forget it. And they said, well, you're trying to run right on the bottom, and everybody else up the loop there is like, you know, 2 feet higher than you are. And I said, Will, I don't care about what the stopwatch says. I don't care about what that monitor right there says. If you can keep that left front on the bottom of this racetrack up through that big round spot part of this track before the jump, you will wear their asses out. And we did.
Until then, I'm Mike Bagley.
Today's program was a presentation of the Motor Racing Network with studios in Concord, North Carolina and Daytona Beach, Florida. The Tough Trucks of NASCAR, 25 years and still trucking, was written and produced by Rich Culbreth. Any use of the accounts or descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.
Larson brings his Chevy and four tires to Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.